Hey guys. Oh my god.
Hi guys.
And welcome back to episode 12 of Fangirl Report with your host Emma Heron, your very own certified fan girl. You guys, there is so much to discuss on this day. First of all, I would love to start this by saying thank you so much for your patience. I know there was no episode last week, and I'm very sorry. Nicholas gave me his stupid freaking cold, so I was very congested and grumpy about being congested. So it just was not a good time, and I still am a little bit snotty in the nose, which you might be able to tell, but I feel much better. So here we are, and we are pushing forward, and we are coming back at it. So welcome back, team. I missed you guys. I missed you. It is March 1st. That's crazy, by the way. It is March 1st already, because January was a whole year of itself, as we know, and then there was February, just a blink of the eye. Craziness. I can't believe it's already March. So I'm hoping that next week my stats and information will be available on Apple Music so we can go through my February music trends. And yeah. So before, oh my god, you guys, I'm struggling right now, and I'll tell you why. Before we get into the life updates segment of this episode, you might notice something sitting in my lap here. Was nobody gonna tell me about this? I just finished this book. Yeah. And we're going to get into it. I just needed to, you know, in case you were wondering what was in my lap, we're going to get to it. Oh my god. Hi. Okay. Ooh. Okay. Life updates. Hello. Hello. Okay. So, oh my god. Wow. I really need to reel it in now. My god. So, yes. Okay, so I was sick last week. We're back on the grind. We're back on it. We're back on the fangirling. I'm here and I'm ready. And overall, February, listen, because I posted on my Instagram, my personal Instagram, I post like a monthly dump on Instagram. If you can hear Satan crawling his way up from the depths of hell, that's my cat in the litter box. I don't know why he does that. Oh, he's done. All right, amazing. Anyways, so February, I post a monthly dump on Instagram, and Jennifer, Bessie Jennifer, commented and was like, wow, January was a month of change. And I could not agree more. February was a month of change. It was crazy, because when I was looking back on all of the things that happened when I'm picking what to put in my dump, February 1st was the day that I got my haircut, the second haircut from Liza Locks, Liza's Locks. And she's not curled. I haven't curled her yet today, so she's looking a little flat and crazy, but we're just going to move past it. So February 1st, I got the haircut that I should have had my entire life. And February, we were really getting into our fitness journey. I believe we did start that at the end of January, but whatever. So we were still going consistently to our Friday classes, and I got a new car. Yeah, I got a new car, and I'll tell you the story of that, because it is actually so hilarious. Because if you guys remember the story that I told about the first haircut that I got when I just cut it short, and how it was a lunchtime adventure from work. How I went to my coworker's office, I was like, man, I really want to get my hair cut. And she's like, go on your lunch and go to my spot. That's 5 minutes away. go. And then I did. And then I came back a new woman. Well, this is episode 2 of Lunchtime Work Lunchtime Adventures, okay? Because there was a whole thing with my car, okay? Heather 2.0 was the car that I was driving before. And this was like my first car coming out of college. I paid $4,000 for it. I put a couple $1,000s into it to make sure that she wouldn't give up on me after freaking 6 months. And she lasted me a good long while. But I knew I was ready. I was getting about ready to the time where I was like, okay, this car isn't going to take me much further. I need to start looking. And so I was doing my research on cars that I wanted. I knew that I wanted some sort of hatchback. I'm just a hatchback girl. I'm not a sedan girl. It just is the way that it is. And so the first car that I ever landed on in the start of my car journey was a Nissan Kicks. I know this is so boring. But I'm going to talk to you guys about it anyways. So I landed on the Nissan Kicks. I was like, stop, this is so cute. It's like a cute little compact SUV. I was looking at a couple black ones, a couple white ones. And I'm like, okay, listen, I can't be settling on the first car that I see. That's just, we can't be doing that. So I was doing research on other like really reliable SUVs/compact SUVs/crossover SUVs. And so I landed on like Toyota RAV4, Nissan Rogue, stuff like that. I think there was like a Mazda hatchback or something like that. And so I was online looking at freaking every car dealership in the tri-state area looking for something that was in my budget. And everything on that list was just so high budget. And so I was looking for a solid 2 weeks, and I go into work on a Wednesday. I go into work, not the Wednesday that passed, but the last Wednesday. I go into work and I'm talking to my coworkers. I'm like, oh, like I've been looking. I just really want a new car. I'm ready, but I don't know what I want to get. Like, I've been looking everywhere. I haven't landed on much. And my coworker was like, there's like 4 used car dealerships that are down the street from us. And it's true. Like, my work is surrounded by like mechanics and car dealerships and used car dealerships and car places. And so I was like, you know what? You're so right. Let me just look online. And so I went online to this place that's a literal 2-minute walk down the road from work. And I find a 2019 white Nissan Kicks. I'm like, and it's in my budget. It was in my budget. I'm like, what are the odds of this? That down the road, there's a car that I landed on first when I first started looking for something. So I put in a little online inquiry online, not thinking too much of it. And within 5 minutes, I got connected to one of the sales reps there. And they invited me that afternoon to look at the car. And so I go to tell my coworker about it. And she's like, well, go on your lunch and go look at it. So I'm like, you know what? I will. So I take my lunch and I go to this dealership and it's parked outside. And he shows me around the car. I look inside and all that good stuff. And I'm like, can I test drive it? He's like, yeah, of course you can test drive it. So we take it for a test drive. It's perfect. It is perfect. I get in this car and it feels like me. It feels good, super smooth ride, because if you guys know, Heather sounded like a bus, and she was so loud, and as soon as you crept up to 80 kilometers an hour on the highway, it sounded like it was going to explode at any moment. Whatever. And this one was so quiet. I'm like, this is the quietest drive I've ever been on in my life. And so we finish the test drive. He takes me in because I have questions about like all the owners and if there's warranty and all that good stuff. And next thing I knew, I was in the financing office applying to finance the car. I'm like, oh my God. And then when I look at my clock and I see that I've been at the dealership for an hour, I'm like, I'm buying this car. Because listen, I really didn't want to jump into it, but my gut was telling me that this was my car. And that my gut was telling me that I was ready for this car. And so I decided to go for it. So I'm texting I'm texting my stepdad, I'm texting my mom the entire time about it. They're asking questions, I'm asking them questions about it, kind of walking me through the process. And I go back to work an hour and a half later, having purchased a new car. Well, not a new car, but a new to me car. And the moment I walk into work, one of the girls looks at me. She's like, "You just bought a new car, didn't you?" I'm like, "Yeah." And at this point, I was freaking out. I'm like, "What the fuck did I just do? What did I just do?" Like, I don't know if you guys know, but like, whenever you get like a new kitten or a new puppy or something, and you get that feeling of guilt that it's like, "What did I just do?" That's what I was feeling. But then I got really excited about it. I kind of worked out the finances. I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? This is going to work out perfectly." And you guys, so I got the car. I was able to pick up the car the next day on Thursday. Not the Thursday that just passed, the Thursday before, okay? And they had detailed it to perfection for me. It looked brand new. And I got winter tires with it and Apple CarPlay. I have Apple CarPlay now and push to start. Oh my God. I never thought I'd ever have that in my life. And so, what I did is I left Heather parked at work just because it worked out that way. It was fine. I was able to leave her there so that I could take Nancy, the Nissan, aka Fancy Nancy, I could take her home so that she could park in at my parking spot at home. And you guys, it gets crazier than this. And I know I'm spending freaking 12, 13 minutes talking about this, but I don't care. So, okay. So it worked out that I park it at work, and I was literally going to call the scrapyard the next morning. There was a scrapyard around the corner from work or whatever. I was going to call them, tell them to come pick it up, get like $300 cash for it, and then move on with my life. Because I was very firm that I didn't want to put any effort into getting rid of this car. I just wanted it gone. And everybody at work convinced me to try to sell it to somebody. So I'm like, they were on me about it. They're like, "You can get like $2,000 for this car, blah, blah, blah. Just try." And I'm like, "Oh my God, fine." I'm like, "Fine." So I take some pictures of it. I post it on Facebook Marketplace on Friday, last Friday. And within 30 seconds, I had like 25 messages from people. I put it up for $2,000 just to see. And a person reached out saying, "Hey, I can come with $1,500 cash for it." And I'm like, "Great, let me get the papers that I need for this. We'll meet on Monday." So I left Heather parked at work over the weekend, which I have never had a problem with her sitting. Like when I broke my leg, I left Heather for 2 months. Of course, I had Nick's mom come and start her up every couple of days, but she did not drive for 2 months, okay? And of course, every weekend when I'm home from work and like there are weekends that I don't go out and do anything and she just sits in the parking spot, I shit you guys not. I get to work on Monday, okay? And I was going to go take the car to put a little bit of gas in it just to make sure it was at least half a tank. I go out to turn on the car. And Heather died. Guys, she would not start. I'm putting the key in, and she goes, I'm like, "You're kidding me." I'm like, "You're kidding me. You're joking." And I'm not even kidding. I get, what are they called? The freaking wires that you put on the batteries where you can give somebody a boost. What are those called? Whatever, it doesn't matter. I find those, a coworker has them. I bring Nancy over. I try to boost her. Nothing. Nothing. I'm like, "Oh my God." So I texted this person on Facebook Marketplace. I said, "Hey, the car just died in the parking lot." And they didn't come and get it, which, hey, I'm not blaming you. And I was just gobsmacked over the timing in which this occurred. And I am convinced that Miss Heather knew that I was taken care of in a new vehicle. And she was like, "Fucking finally, I don't have to freaking lug my old ass around anymore." And bitch died. I said, "Oh my God." So that evening, I go to carsforkids.ca. I put all the information in. And the next day, a tow truck came and took her away so I could donate her. And I'm getting a fat tax credit for it next year, too. I'm so excited. So anyways, I'm like, and I laugh at all the people who were trying to tell me to sell it. I'm like, look at what happened. It was not meant to be sold. Okay. So that is the story of how I got my new car. I have been driving her for maybe a week and a half now. I've been driving Nancy. I love it because ever since I got my license, ever since I was able to drive on my own, I have been driving really old cars. I started with a 2007 Hyundai Sonata that I got off Facebook Marketplace and went to shit after 9 months. And then I'm in college for a little while. And then I get Heather 2.0, a freaking 2012 Hyundai Accent, which when I got it, there was a lot wrong with it. I was able to put like $1,500 into her fixer-up and all that good stuff. And she lasted me like a good almost 3 years. And then she shit the bed because there was a lot else wrong with her. And now I have this gorgeous white SUV that has push to start and Apple CarPlay and a backup camera. Oh my God. I back up everywhere now. I never did that before. So yeah, so I was going to take you guys on like a cute little tour of the car, but I have not decorated her yet. So once she's all decorated and set, I'm going to take you guys through Nancy, aka Fancy Nancy, aka Nancy the Nissan, and I'll take you for a little tour of the car. However, I love her. She is the best car I've ever had, ever, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy. So that's life update number one. Life update number... Oh my God, I'm having a stroke, as per usual. Life update number two. I went to dance again. I had so much fun. And I didn't end up going to Pilates. Okay, so I'm filming on Saturday today. I'm not filming the day of and being a procrastinator like I usually am because Nick is working tomorrow and then he can't help me with the filming. Anyways, it literally doesn't matter. So today is Saturday. Yesterday, Friday, I didn't end up going to Pilates. So I said, you know what? I'll go the next morning. So this morning, I woke up at 8 a.m. I read a couple more chapters of this freaking book. Got up. I went to Pilates. I loved it. This was like my favorite one yet. I had so much fun. And I got home. I made myself a protein shake because you got to get your protein in. And I think I was supposed to have it before Pilates, but I didn't. So sorry about that. Anyways, I'm still in my fitness era. And actually, I have been noticing some slight differences because I'm not having sugar anymore. I'll have like the very odd bite of like a cookie or something like that, very odd sip of Coke, but like other than that, I've been having no sugar, no pop, no like chocolate, like very odd time I'll have like a Ferrero Rocher, but like I'm not having any sugar and it has been doing me good. Like I feel like my face has been starting to slim down a little bit. I'm feeling like better. I'm feeling more active, a little more flexible thanks to the Pilates. So overall, I'm just feeling really good. And my mom said that she said that I was looking really good the other day. So I was like, stop, that's so nice. And other than that, I think that's really all the life updates I have for you. And yeah, so that's that. My tummy is growling, you guys. Because, listen, I'm going to Medieval Times tonight for Miss Cece's birthday. I have never been to Medieval Times. I am so excited. I'm going to get a cute outfit all ready together for it. But I've heard, from what I've heard about Medieval Times, it's like a big dinner. So I had my protein shake this morning and I'm trying not to eat until tonight just to make up for it because I am on a calorie deficit and I don't want to... Like, I'm just trying to stay consistent. I know it's the weekend, whatever, friend's birthday, whatever. I'll have a little snack before I go, don't worry. But I'm so excited. I'm going to channel my inner freaking Brittany Broski Royal Court. I'm going to say huzzah every 3 fucking seconds. I'm so excited. And it's going to be really slay. And I can't wait. And yeah, so I'm very excited. And since I'm filming this ahead of time, I can put some clips in it. I'll put some freaking Medieval Times clips in right now.
Justice is soon here, and the hand of...
yeah, that is that. And now, oh my god. You guys, why did nobody tell me about this book? Listen, okay, I know Brittany Broski talked about it. I know so many people on TikTok were talking about it. What? And here's the thing. I am not a reader. The last time I sat down and had a hard time putting a book down, like the last time I really enjoyed a book, was Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. That is the last book that I was like, I could not take my nose out of it. And that was how many years ago now? That book is, that was like, I don't know, 24. Let's just look it up as per usual. And yeah, I was obsessed with that series. I don't want the stupid movie. I don't want to know when the stupid movie came out. I don't care because the movie did not do the book justice whatsoever. Okay, the book. When did the book come out? Oh my god. Freaking lordy, lordy. Book. I just put Bach by accident. Me and Bach. It was published in 2011? No. Because I didn't get into it until maybe 2014, 15. Like, I think I was in high school. Wow. Anyways, that series is really good. And the movie butchered it because there was this character in it and her name was Emma. Okay. And her power, her peculiarity was that she could make fire with her hands. Okay. And they switched it in the movie so that she switched. I think her name was Olive. So they gave Olive in the movie the fire powers and then they made Emma able to fly. Are you serious? That is unacceptable. Anyways, it literally doesn't matter. So that was the last time I really enjoyed a good book. And since then, like, I've read the Hunger Games trilogy. I've read the Divergent trilogy. I've read Maze Runner trilogy. But since then, it's been, like, probably 10 years since I've actually sat down with a book. And so everybody was talking about this. And I know the hype around this was probably the beginning of 2024. Or maybe even before that. And I don't know what it was because my coworker started reading it. Finished reading it, actually. She finished reading the whole freaking series. And there was just something about it that was kind of speaking to me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to order it on Amazon and we're going to give it a try. No, because you know what? I was in Indigo and I saw it and I was like, maybe I should buy it. But Indigo is expensive as shit. So I just got it on Amazon instead. And this book was received to me on Monday. Like the Monday that just passed. And I just finished it today. I feel like that's like not a long time, but it's also a long time. But I literally finished this book probably an hour and a half before I started filming. Because I said I need to finish this book before I start recording so I can talk about it. Oh my god, you guys. This is the best book I've ever read. And this... oh my god, I'm getting too excited. Oh my god, this book is amazing. And it's my first, like, adult read. So it was a little spicy. I said, okay. And listen, I'm going to try to discuss this novel without giving any spoilers in case there is anybody who hasn't read it yet. I know it's been out for freaking forever, so I don't know. But if, okay, listen, a spoiler will probably slip out. If you have not read Fourth Wing yet and you plan to, I would just hop off the pod right now because I fear that I will be spending the next 20 minutes discussing this book. So if you are still planning on reading this, it was so nice to see you today. I will talk to you guys next week and finish it. If you are leaving right now, finish this book before next Sunday, okay? So we can talk about it. Thank you so much. This was the, I could not put this freaking book down. Every time I was in the office, this book was all I could think about. It is so good. There is a clip from when Brittany Broski was talking about this. She was like, oh. It was literally me reading this book. The characters are so good. The writing is good. And my God. And I've been watching all the TikToks of, like, people that are using AI to, like, visually show the chapters of the book. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes. And they're dragons. Okay, so if you haven't read this, the best way that I can describe this to you is Divergent, but with dragons. That's the best way I can describe it to you. So let me just give you a little bit of an introduction. And if you have read this, and just let me speak, okay? Just let me speak, okay? There are four, what are they called? What are they called? This is so absurd. I literally just finished this. Quadrants. That's what they're called. There's four quadrants, quite very similar to Divergent. And the writer's quadrant is like whatever the one that freaking, I can't remember anything. Triss. What? Dauntless. Oh my God. You guys, this book is making me go insane. So the writer's quadrant, I would argue, is very similar to the Dauntless spot in Divergent, okay? They wear black and they're freaking crazy and they die and they're wild and they ride dragons. And so the book is in the perspective of Violet Sorgo, who is the main character. And by the way, I love her. I love her because, you know, if I'm ever watching a movie or a show or anything, like, I can't get behind, like, a damsel in distress kind of vibe. And, like, where it's like, oh, I need a man to come save me. Come save me. Like, Violet Sorrengail is the youngest daughter, and she's, like, actually genuinely frail. Like, she has brittle bones, and she's very small, and she's very weak. But she does not let that define her, and she does not let that stop her. And she's a strong and independent woman. Like, there was a moment in this book where she broke a bone or something like that, and she had to go to one of the menders, and she was like, this is the only time, if something ever happens again, do not call Nolan, because I will heal it myself next time. I'm like, yes, girl, you better get it, girl, okay? And so basically, I can't. Okay, so there's the infantry squadron. What the fuck? There's the infantry quadrant where it's basically like the normal army kind of vibes. Like, it's just normal army. There's the healer's quadrant, which, I mean, self-explanatory. They freaking heal people. There's the scribe quadrant, which is like, they're like historians and they read books and they like note down, like, they're the reason why history is written down, basically. And that is the quadrant that Violet was originally going to go into. Like, that's what she studied to be. But her mom and her sister and her brother were all writers. And she's the general of whatever. I don't really remember the politics behind it. But basically, her mom was like, no, you're going into the writer's quadrant because that is what my daughter will be, a writer. My daughter will be a writer. So she was forced into it. And the writer's quadrant is very dangerous. Like, people be dying. People be dying left, right, and center. And Violet's older sister, who is a very successful writer, like, she's got a legacy behind her, she storms into her mom's freaking office and says, don't you dare do this, Violet is gonna die out there. And basically Violet the whole time was kind of like, you know what, like, whatever. She's like, whatever, I'm born to be a scribe, but I'm gonna go do this, I'm still gonna go do it. I'm like, yes, girl. And so basically, since the general is Violet's mom, Violet's mom has been responsible for a lot of deaths in the history of this world at Bisgaeth College. And so basically because of that, Violet is a massive target in the writer's quadrant, and she's got a lot of people that are after her. And literally in the first chapter, you guys, I said I was going to try not to talk about spoilers, whatever. If you haven't read this, you need to go. I'm so sorry. Literally in the first chapter of the freaking book, The first thing that they have to do to enter the Water's Quadrant is they have to cross a parapet. And it's basically like an 18-inch wide, super long stone bridge, basically. But it's very windy and it's like a freaking 200-foot drop into a ravine. So if you fall, you die. And they have to, like, cross over it like a freaking balance beam or whatever. Okay? So as Violet is about to cross the parapet, she meets Rhiannon, who's a badass girl who, with braids and stuff. Oh, obsessed. And she meets Dylan, who was a super sweet boy. He was wearing, I believe he was wearing a necklace with a ring on it because he has a girlfriend back at home who they both agreed that they wanted to wait to get engaged until he was back from after graduation. And I'm like, stop, that is so freaking cute. And at the end of the first chapter of the book, Dylan falls off and dies. I said, oh, this is a great start. I am gonna love this book. What the fuck? And I thought I was gonna like Dylan too. I thought we were just meeting the first trio of the freaking book. But no. I was like, this is the first chapter? What the hell am I in for? Which I was not ready for what I was in for. And so basically, Violet has lots of people after her, including...
Oh my god.
including Zayden Ryerson. Zayden Ryerson. So there was like an enemies to lovers trope in this book, which, come on, you cannot go wrong with a good enemies to lovers. Very slow burn, very nice. He's a very dark.
Oh my god.
Violet describes his eyes as onyx with specks of gold in them. Are you fucking kidding me? And he's got dark hair, dark eyes, very like angular features, and he's fucking jacked. And basically, when eventually they bond with a dragon, they put what's it called, they put like their mark on you or whatever. I don't remember what it's freaking called. I don't know. Anyways, whatever, it's like whatever, they put like the dragon puts a mark on you. And Zayden had like one that was like all up at his neck and stuff. And he's so muscular, and he's so hot, and he's so tall. And he calls her Violence. Oh my god! He calls her Violence. And it's crazy. And, oh my god, there was another. Oh my god. And so basically, Violet's older sister told her that once you cross the parapet, go find Dane. And Dane is Violet's childhood best friend that went into the Writer's Quadrant. So he's a second year now. And basically, once you're in the quadrant, you don't leave until you graduate or whatever, and then you're sent off to the lines to fight. And so she's like, go find Dane once you cross the parapet. And she does. And listen, you guys, at first I was a Violet X Dane supporter. I was like, yes. And like OTP, I was like, OTP Dane and Violet, yes, love their energy. And I was so obsessed with it because Dane was so sweet. Like, he was so sweet, but he was a little uptight because, like, he was kind of being an ass to her because he was trying to convince her to escape the Writer's Quadrant. He was going to sneak her over to the Scribe Quadrant because they were like, they'll still take you as a student. They'll still tell you, go. You're so fragile and weak. And Violet was like, no, I want to prove myself here. I'm like, yes, girl, you tell him. And so I really was for them for a long time. And I just can't even. And so I really love Dane at first. The way that I picture Dane is I picture him tall and like muscular, but not as muscular as Zayden. And I picture him as like dirty blonde hair with like some stuff. Oh my god, Dane. Oh my god. So I was really obsessed with him at first. I was like, yes. But then he started just being an ass towards Violet. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to stand for that for my girl. I'm simply not going to stand for that. And so, oh my god. So when Dane finally kisses her and she's like, I felt nothing, I was like, stop. Because they had a bit of a slow burn going on there, because Violet was at first like, yes, like, yeah, freaking like, I'm into that, I will climb you like a tree. I'm like, yes. And when that happened, I'm like, you know what, girl? I get you. I understand you. Because, hello, Zayden. Hello. Hello. And, yeah. And then, oh my God, you guys. I can't even talk about it right now. And so my coworker who was also reading it, I was, like, giving her live text updates. Because there's another portion of... Oh my God, what am I saying? I don't even know. I can't even get my mind around this right now. I literally just finished it today. And so, basically, they'll go through, like, their classes and whatever as, like, first years. And then they'll get to the threshing, which is basically where they go to try and bond with a dragon. And so, there's only, every year, there's only a certain amount of dragons that are willing to bond. And so, at this year, there was less dragons that were willing to bond than first years, right? So it was basically kind of like a fight to the death kind of vibe going on to try to bond with a dragon. And so they were doing this little walkthrough before the threshing where basically it was a chance for the dragons to see kind of what kind of first years there were, to see if there was anybody that they wanted to bond with. And at the end, there was like this little golden dragon that everybody was shitting on. They were like, oh my God, that dragon is so weak. Oh my God, Violet, that dragon is perfect for you because you're both small and weak. I'm like, okay, so, okay, that's going to be her dragon is what I'm hearing. So that's what was in my mind. So then they get to the threshing where they're in like this forest and it's basically like a free for all. Like Zayden is a, he's a third year. He's a, what is he? He's more, he's a superior. He's a squad leader or something like that. And they cannot interfere with the first years. So if somebody wants to try and go fucking slit Violet's throat, they can't interfere. So basically, the little dragon, the little golden dragon is in the forest. And three of these idiot boys, one of them is Jack Barlow. Go fuck yourself, Jack Barlow. I'm so passionate about this, you guys. It's unacceptable. So basically, Violet climbs a tree to get, like, a good view of everything to see who she wants to bond with. And as she's getting down, she catches Jack Barlow and two of his fucking minions and overhears that they're going to try and go kill the golden dragon. I'm sorry. That's a dragon and you're going to go kill it? That is not what y'all stand for. Y'all bond with them and you don't kill them. So she's like, no, I'm not going to let that happen. So she gets to the golden dragon first and she's like, go, you need to get out of here. You need to get out of here now. You need to fly away. You need to go. And then, so this little golden dragon is like, I don't want to go anywhere. So then Jack Barlow and his two freaking minions, Violet is now facing them 3-on-1. And so at this point, Violet has improved immensely in terms of like strength and stuff like that. And she is standing her ground. She is making her freaking place in the Riders quadrant, okay? And so now she's facing three dudes, one of which is Jack Barlow, who's wanted to kill her since the very first day they entered the quadrant after the parapet. And basically, she freaking whips a dagger at Jack Barlow's shoulder. He runs away like the freaking coward that he is. And as they're trying to kill Violet, Zayden is basically watching and he can't do anything. And he's like, oh my God. I'm like, stop. Stop it. Okay, stop. Oh my God. And so essentially she saves the golden, little golden dragon's life. And I'm like, okay, they're going to bond. That's going to be her dragon. And then you guys, okay, there's a black dragon that basically was famous for never bonding with anybody, okay? And sorry, wow, I'm gathering my thoughts here. So this dragon who's famous for not bonding comes down and says, like, basically the golden dragon is with this ginormous, black, huge, bigger than all of the others, strong, crazy, famous for never bonding with humans ever, and bonds with Violet. I said, oh my God. I'm like, that is so badass. Of course, Violet is going to get the most craziest, badass freaking dragon there was out there. And it's because she saved the golden dragon. That's the reason he chose her. Oh my god, that's crazy. So basically, now she goes to report to her mom, the General Sorengale, who basically, ever since forced Violet into the Riders Quadrant, did not pay her any, didn't freaking bat an eye at her. So now Violet gets to walk up to her and say, "Who are you?" And basically they're like, they have to like jot down who's bonding with who, because once a dragon chooses you, they can talk to you in your mind and they'll give you, like, the dragon will give the human their name. So Tarn is the ginormous black dragon that chooses Violet. Of course, he has a full name. I can't pronounce it. I have no idea how to pronounce it. So, wow. Anyways, so she gets to go look at her mother in the eyes and say, "I'm bonded with this motherfucking crazy bitch right here." And you know what her mom says? "Violet, he's a legend." Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah. And your daughter just got that dragon. That's crazy. And so, basically, she's telling the daughter person the name of the dragon. And then in the middle of it, the little golden dragon speaks up and gives Violet her name, which the little golden dragon is a girl. Of course she is. And her name is Andarna. So cute. I freaking love that little dragon. She's so cute. And in her head, she's like, what the fuck? And Taryn is like, tell them her name. And so she's like, and Andarna. And they're like, what do you mean? Violet bonded to two dragons. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Oh my god. Oh my god. So I'm like, yeah, of course. Of course Violet bonded to two dragons. Because she's badass and amazing and independent woman. Okay? And oh my god, you guys. I'm going to talk about one more part of this book and I will leave you to it. Oh my god. So, okay. So once you are bonded to a dragon, you are now a rider, and then you can kind of get upgraded in your dorm. So before they were like in this big hall of sharing beds, so now they get their own room. Okay. And one night Violet is sleeping in her room, she's got her armor on, whatever, and like 8 or something people sneak into her room to try and kill her, and guess who comes to save her? Zayden comes to save her. Of course he does, obviously. Oh my god. And basically, there is only one way to know who is residing in what room, and that's if you are a rider. So basically, it was a group of the unbonded people that didn't get bonded to a dragon, and one of the wing leaders who was bonded to a dragon. So the only person who could possibly have known where Violet was staying was the wing leader. So basically, And whatever they did was against the rules. So she tells Zayden who was in the room. And the next day, they're like in formation. And Zayden goes up and is like, there was somebody who we need to execute, pretty much. And calls the name of this girl wing leader who was accused of committing this act of violence or whatever. And Dane. Oh my god. Okay, so Dane, okay, guys, this is so complicated. So once you get bonded to a dragon, you get, I don't even know how to say it. Basically, you get a power, okay? And Dane's power is able to see people's memories if he touches their face. So once this girl is accused of this, once Zayden is like, hey, she's guilty, Dane turns around and goes, no, Violet, that can't be true. Tell them that you're lying. Tell them that it's not the truth. Let me see. And like tries to like force him on her to see her memory. And she's like, what the fuck? You are my lifelong friend and you don't believe me right now? Meanwhile, Zayden and Violet are basically enemies because of previous things, okay? And without a second of hesitation, without a single second of hesitation, when Violet tells him who it was, he is immediately with the professors and calling the girl out in the middle of formation, basically saying, we're gonna kill you because of what you did. Without any hesitation, he's like, yeah. And here's Dane, lifelong friend, trying to force her to see her fucking memories because he doesn't believe her. What the... Dane, what the hell? Dane, what the hell? I don't like you. I'll meet you in my bed later, but I don't like you. Anyways, it was crazy. And basically, like, this whole dynamic, and it's, okay, it's kind of a love triangle, but it's not. Like, you know what I mean? And basically, the dynamic between Violet and Zayden compared to Violet and Dane is so crazy, because Dane is constantly, like, coddling her and saying, no, you can, you know, it's not too late to go to the Scribes Quadrant, like, you can go. Meanwhile, Zayden is all about, like, pushing her, and, like, he knows that she can be a writer, he knows that she can be strong, and freaking lifts her up. I'm like, yes. Oh my god. So that's my very long spiel about Fourth Wing and how it's the best book I've ever read in my entire life. I have yet to purchase a second book. I am on it, I promise you. And yeah, that's that. I'm obsessed with it. So, and it's so funny because I feel like this book kind of gives like medieval kind of vibes a little bit. So now that I'm going to medieval times tonight, I'm going to be like channeling my inner Violet Soaringale. Oh my god. Anyways, wow. And I can't get enough of this book. And the cliffhanger at the end of the book, I won't even say it because it's huge. The last page, I just about died. I just about died. I literally sent my coworker, who also read it, I sent her a freaking voice memo screaming about what happened. I can't believe it. Anyways, yeah. I'm a Zayden stan. I'm a Zayden stan. I'm a Dane stan too, but I'm pissed at him. If you read it, you'll understand. Oh, he's just kind of a jackass. Anyways. Oh my god, I don't know what I'm gonna do when this series is over. I don't know what I'm gonna do with myself. I will be going to ACOTAR after this. I'm nervous that it's not gonna be as good, but I've heard very good things, so yeah. Anyways, okay, I need to stop while I'm ahead. Thank you guys so much for going through that with me. And you can look forward to more Fourth Wing episodes as I go through the other two books. And Rebecca Yaros, thank you for providing me with this. I'm sorry that I didn't get to it sooner. And yeah. Wow. So anyways, guys, thank you so much. I will fangirl with you guys next week. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope you had a great weekend. And yeah, I love ya. Bye-bye.